So, this evening we will read from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, contents of the Gita, summarized, text 15.
This is chapter
2. Chapter 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Chapter 2, text 15. So please repeat. First we recite the Sanskrit. Yamina Vyatatanti Ete.
Yamina Vyatatanti Ete.
Pusham Pushashaba.
Pusham Pushashaba.
Samaduka Sukam Diram.
Samaduka Sukam Diram.
Shomitatyai Vakalapate.
Shomitatyai Vakalapate.
Yamina Vyatatanti Ete.
Yamina Yamatamete.
Pusham Pushashaba.
Pusham Pusham Shabha.
Samaduka Sukam Diram.
Samaduka Sukam Diram.
Shomitatvaya Kalapate.
Shomitatvaya Kalapate.
Yamina Vyatatante Ite.
Yamina Yatatante Ite.
Pusham Pusham Shabha.
Pusham Pusham Shabha.
Samaduka Sukam Diram.
Samaduka Sukam Diram.
Shomitatvaya Kalapate.
Shomitatvaya Kalapate.
Someone can try to repeat it. Another word for word translation. Yam.
Yam.
One to whom?
One to whom?
He.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Vyatayanti.
Vyatayanti.
Are distressing.
Are distressing.
Ite.
Ite.
All these.
All these.
Purusam.
Purusam.
To a person.
To a person.
Purushabha.
Purushabha.
O best among men.
O best among men.
Sama.
Sama.
Unaltered.
Unaltered.
Dukkha.
Dukkha.
In distress.
In distress.
Sukham.
Sukham.
And happiness.
And happiness.
Diram.
Diram.
Patient.
Patient.
Sa.
Sa.
He.
He.
Amritatvaya.
Amritatvaya.
For liberation.
For liberation.
Kalpate.
Kalpate.
Is considered eligible.
Is considered eligible.
Now translation and commentary by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Anyone who is studying his determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization can equally tolerate the onslaughts on distress and happiness. Is certainly a person eligible for liberation. In the Varnashrams institution, the fourth stage of life, namely the renounced order sannyas, is a painstaking situation. But one who is serious about making his life perfect surely adopts the sannyas order of life in spite of all difficulties. The difficulties usually arise from having too severe family relationships, to give up the connection of wife and children. But if anyone is able to tolerate such difficulties, surely his path to spiritual realization is complete. Similarly, in Arjuna's discharge of duties as a Kshatriya, he is advised to persevere even if it is difficult to fight with his family members or similarly beloved persons. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas at the age of 24, and his dependents, young wife as well as old mother, had no one else to look after them. Yet for a higher course he took sannyas and was steady in the discharge of his higher duties. That is the way of achieving liberation from material bondage. Yamina pyotatantyete purusham purusharshaba samadukasakam dhyam swami tatvaya kalpate. Now I will read the commentary of Purnachana Maharaj and Purujan Prabhu on this verse. So purusharshaba, the best of all persons, they are unaffected by the dualities of life, and they do their duties even amidst great calamities and distress. Therefore, such people become eligible for moksha, or liberation, śrāmitātvaya kalpate. This is the result when one is able to tolerate and become peaceful and undisturbed in happiness and distress. This is the adhikār for someone to achieve liberation. Srila Prabhupada quotes that Lord Chaitanya took sannyas at the age of 24. He tolerated the fact that he had a beautiful young wife, Vishnupriya, and a very loving mother, Sachidevi. But because of the higher course, he took sannyas in the discharge of his duties. Anyone who is studying his determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization can equally tolerate the onslaughts of distress and happiness. He is certainly a person eligible for liberation. In the Varnashram institution, the fourth stage sannyas is a painstaking situation. When we are serious about making one's life perfect, surely adopts the sannyas order of life in spite of all difficulties. Liberation means beyond happiness and distress of this material world. It is a different type of pleasure, or depending on one's spiritual consciousness, whether one is a jnani or an impersonalist, a brahmavadi, a paramatmavadi or a bhakta, a devotee, he will get a different level of happiness. But this sample, this same principle is true whether we are mayavadi, brahmavadi or yoga meditation, or a yogi meditating on the supersoul within the heart, that we have to become steady, fixed in our activity, not up and down by happiness and distress that comes to us due to our particular karma in the material world. So if one learns to do his duty in a fixed manner, regardless of the happiness and distress, this is called nishkam karma. This will be described in the third chapter and in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The second chapter is the contents of the Gita summarized. So there will be many topics brought up here in the second chapter that will be explained in more detail further. The idea is that if one acts in a detached fashion, fixed on in doing his duty, and one's karma is fixed in doing activities in a detached way, the result of that is going to be jnana or knowledge. So karma yoga will lead to jnana yoga. This point will be described clearly in the first six chapters, and then the results of jnana is liberation. Krishna will dedicate the following verses up to verse 30 in describing jnana. This jnana is usually achieved through inactive path of yoga called jnana yoga or astanga yoga. So one leaves his material activities far behind and goes to the forest, doesn't associate with anyone, just meditates using his intelligence. He separates himself from material worlds and comes to realize that he's not his body but is a spiritual soul. Now this point of jnana yoga or sankhya yoga is an inactive path, is very important to remember. This will come up again in the third chapter, in the fifth chapter. So keep in mind, this path of jnana is an inactive path. One leaves one duty. Krishna is going to recommend Arjuna how to achieve the same jnana by doing your duty, through activity. This is an essential question that actually will be discussed little later, also in the second chapter. It is better to leave one's duty to make an advancement and to maintain one's duty and do it in a detached way. So it's, yeah, and make advancement in this way. This is an important question in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna begins to explain this jnana. This section is related to jnana, achieving knowledge. Now the first version of this section, verse 16, is an important verse. Oh, so this, the first instructions of Lord Krishna to Arjuna. So what did Krishna say before? He said, Ashoshan Abhachoshan Sham Prakhyavadam Sabhasase Kata Aratasan Sa Nano Shashanti Pandita. He has explained that to Arjuna that you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief, because the pandit, the wise person, either does not grieve nor for the living nor for the death, for the dead, because you are a spirit soul. There is the material body, is so-called alive and becomes dead. It's alive because the spirit soul is inside. It's dead because the spirit, the life of the spirit soul is gone. So the life is the spirit soul. Why should you lament for the body which disappears? The body was never alive. It appears to be alive because the soul is inside. So this is a misconception that we think we are this body. We identify with this body, but we are the spirit soul inside, and that's the life. That's what gives life. And that life never stops, Krishna says in the next verse. Natvevam chatunasham natvam natam chini chanadipam nasivana bhavishma sarvabhayam fayam ataparam. So Krishna says, you, Arjuna, all these kings and me, we have existed in the past, we are existing now, we are existing in the future. So Krishna confirms the eternality of the soul. We are eternal. But the soul is eternal, but the body is not eternal. How can we see the difference? Because the body changes, everything material changes. And that's Krishna explains, the inasmin chatya, the he kamram chavram chara, tatadi antara praptir, dhirastatra namuchati. Krishna says that, yes, you have to tolerate these changes of the body. It goes from boy to youth to old age. What can we do? Different bodies. Our body continually changes until the time of death. And even death, you have to tolerate, Krishna says. Just tolerate. That's his first instructions. We are not this body. You just tolerate the happiness and distress of the body. Matras pashas the kantya shitrasna sukadukada armapaina nitya stamsatiksas phalabharata. Like sun in the heat of the summer or the cold in the winter, we have to tolerate. So we have, that's the first instruction. Tolerate the so-called happiness and distress. And now in this verse of today, Krishna He gives the result if you can do that. Yamina fyata tantiti purusham purushashaba ramapina nityastam stikshasvabharata. If you can do this, Krishna says, this tolerating of this happiness and this stress, then you are ready for liberation. You are liberated. Because one on the spiritual platform, he acts on the spiritual platform. And acting on the spiritual platform means that one is not disturbed by anything material. And this is disturbance, happiness and distress, our likes and dislikes in the body. And we like this and we dislike that. And it's an invention of the mind, dislikes and dislikes. That we think something is good in this world, something is bad, but everything is bad. Because it leads only to one result, the death of the body. That's all activities are temporary. The result is not good. But we call some things happiness and some things distress. Some things we call happiness because it gives pleasure to the body. Or we think, I like this. But every person has different likes and dislikes. They are not the same. Because they are different, influenced by the modes of nature. Will be explained in the 14th chapter. That if someone in a mode of ignorance will dislike what those like in the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one is austere. In the mode of ignorance, one is lazy and certainly not austere. Let go everything. So it's just opposites, likes and dislikes. One in the mode of ignorance, he likes to be uncontrolled. But one in the mode of goodness, he wants to control everything with his intelligence. Different likes and dislikes. One in the mode of ignorance wants to eat dead bodies and things that's very enjoyable, to taste the blood. And one in the mode of goodness, he likes food in the mode of goodness. That's grains, fruits, vegetables, and milk products, dairy products, in the mode of goodness. So different tastes, different kind of illusion but one who wants to become liberated from this world, he must tolerate this and do his duty as ordained by the scriptures. One has to do one's svadharma. We have learned previously there are two kinds of svadharma. There are material duties and spiritual duties. The spiritual duty is to act for the pleasure of Krishna, or to follow the instructions of the spiritual master who is representative of Krishna. Follow Krishna's instructions. That's our spiritual duty. That our material duty, that's explained in the Bhagavad Gita in terms of varnashram. According to our psychophysical nature, we have a duty that some are more in the mode of passion. They will be businessmen. They can be bankers. They can be warriors, fighters, kshatriyas, as pure passion, that administrators, that those in the mode of ignorance are laborers, and those who are very intelligent intelligent class are educators. So we have all our duty, and we get a job according to our capabilities, and these capabilities are going together with our psychophysical nature. And Krishna says you have to do your duty according to your situation that you get, not to try to do one's other duties. One must do one's own duty. So we should not try to change our situation thinking I can improve materially. But what is this improvement materially? We are all prisoners in this world. That we are third class prisoner, and we want to become first class prisoner. We want a better cell to stay in. This material world is a prison. We live on this small cell. We cannot go out. It's a perfect prison. You cannot go out. And why can't we go out? Because of the body. Because the body is made of earth and has a similar composition as this material world. If we look at the world, most what's on the surface of the globe is practically, I don't know exactly, but 80% water or something. The body is made of 80% water, the same composition. So we cannot go out. That's Krishna's arrangement. We have to accept our situation, and we are the architect of our own situation by our previous karma. That's why we get this body. Why do we get distress? Because we have caused distress to others in the past. So you get it back. You pay your bill. But we should not be disturbed by it. We just accept it. We accept it. And we are not disturbed by it. We continue doing our job, which is our spiritual svadharma, following the instruction of the spiritual master, doing our duty materially. It's not that we have to give up, that we can give up our material duties, that you are married, you have a wife, you have to take care, it's your responsibility. That you have children, you have to educate them. That's all your duties. We cannot give up these duties. And these duties are going together with a lot of happiness and distress which come and go. And we can say, I don't want it. I don't want, I only want the happiness. I don't want the distress. Everyone is like that. But you should consider, it doesn't matter what we want, you get your reactions. And we should not be disturbed by it. That we should not be elated when there comes happiness, because that's a big illusion. Illusion? It's illusion because it's not happiness. It's just absence of distress that we take for happiness. So because the happiness and distress goes together with the body, if we act on the spiritual platform, then we are not disturbed by this happiness and distress. We are going to execute the order of the spiritual master. And we don't consider whether it's whether it's good for the body or bad for the body, we do our duty. That, like also on the material platform, that most people think, if there is no profit for me, or happiness, same thing, if there is no profit for me, I will not do it. That's their determination. They will only do it when there is profit for them. And what's the profit? The profit is for the body, temporary body. But the devotee, he acts for the pleasure of Krishna, not for the body. And that gives happiness not to the body but to the soul. And we are the soul. That's our real position. That one is calling. So this is a very important lesson to learn. That this is also explained more deeply in the 14th chapter. You can only have determination to do something without in a mode of goodness. And a mode of goodness means that one has a yogic determination. It's not disturbed by anything. It's not like the worker in passion. If there is no profit, I'm not going to do it. If it's going to give me pain, I will not do it. But when on the spiritual platform, he does not consider that. He will do his duty. That whether good or bad for the body, I tolerate. Of course, that needs training. That, because most people will not be able to tolerate. Why are they not able to tolerate? Because they are not austere. That they cannot control their senses. Their senses are going to the object of sense gratification. That, yes, some nice smell of food comes in the nose, and when I want to enjoy, I'm going to eat it. That. But a person in knowledge, he knows, I have to control my senses. Otherwise, uncontrolled senses is a cause of unlimited distress. As Prahlad Maharaj says that in the Bhagavatam, Atirna Krishna Vatrus Vatrufam Itopi Bhatyeti Hya Vatanam Anandhra Prafishtam Tamishtam Purnas Purnasarvata Sarvananam. It says, our inclination towards Krishna consciousness will never take place if one remains attached to sense gratification. Our greatest enemy, says, is the uncontrolled mind. That's the greatest enemy. Because by the uncontrolled mind, you continue doing the same thing again and again and again. Stereotype activities. Always the same thing. People do the same thing. They get up in the morning. They have their... one of the first things they do is take some coffee or tea. That, and then they hear the news. It's always the same thing they are going to every day. That and that it's just all sense gratification for the body. And that there's a program of sense gratification. When there's always the same thing. But a devotee does not partake in such a thing. He has his duty from his spiritual master. He has his spiritual program in the morning. And engage in spiritual activities. And that's his duty in the morning. And in the evening, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Bhagavad Gita lectures. That's what we do in the evening. that or cooking for Krishna. And during the day we do our work for Krishna. It's a whole program. And a devotee will not let himself deviate from that. He has his morning program and is not going to eat when he's hungry or when he has desire to eat. That now he eats when the time is there, after having done his duties, his spiritual duties. He gets up in the morning and he gets a shower, whether it's cold or hot or whatever situation, he will take a shower. That he will chant his rounds. That hear the Bhagavatam, worship the deity in a very regulated way. And so many disturbances will come, but still he will do the same thing every day. That sometimes the body cooperates, sometimes the cooperation is not so good, but he will do it. That's the yogic determination. If we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to learn that in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, my devotee is austere. He does not live a life for sense gratification. He has a controlled life. So, because if one follows the four regulative principles, one gets control over the mind. This is a very deep psych. Okay.